In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us join our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty and gracious God, as we gather this morning, we thank you, dear Father, that you have carried us through the night and granted unto us this new day of grace. As we gather around your holy word, we thank you, dear Father, for your great and abundant blessings. You have taken care of all of our needs, given that which we need in this life temporally, and also spiritually, when you have enabled us to gather around your word. And so we pray, dear Father, that even now you would bless your word. Give words unto your servant. Give ears to hear, hearts to believe that which you wish to say to us this day. Comfort us in our sorrows, in our trials, and distress in this life. And strengthen us on the journey, pathway which leads unto heaven's home with you one day. We thank you, dear Father, being unworthy of your great blessings, but yet thanking you for all which you have given our homes, our families, our free homelands where we are able to dwell. We thank you for the temporal blessings of our work and the gifts which you have given to serve in so many ways. But we remember brothers and sisters who are in times of trial, mourning, illness, loneliness, distress of whatever nature. Dear Father, feed them, love, protect them in faith, so that they would endure that which this life gives and inherit heaven's home one day. We also remember loved ones and those in the world around us who do not own the precious gift of living faith, who travel in distress of sin, without peace and joy of the conscience and the hope of heaven. Let your light of your kingdom be seen. Let your word be heard. Call such unto the hearing of your word and grant faith as your grace gift. Above all, we thank you, dear Father, that you have loved us so much, that you have sent your only begotten Son into this world to be that perfect sacrifice, to die for our sins, and prepare a way for us to enter heaven's home with you. We wish to believe upon his victory over sin and hell and death, knowing that it is our victory when in faith we can in this way believe. We pray, dear Father, as your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Before we read our text this morning, dear brothers and sisters, I wish to bring greetings to you from those brothers and sisters who are spending some winter weeks or months in Florida. We have enjoyed the beginning of winter there, and will continue until spring. But it's nice to see you here today, and I want to bring greetings from my wife, Noella, and from the brothers and sisters there in Florida. They are eagerly awaiting a special occasion 3 weeks from now, where we expect many visitors to join us and celebrate the 30-year anniversary of winter services there in Florida. We pray for God's blessings and for that event, and welcome you to join us. Also, greetings from the LLC board meeting yesterday. We had our winter meeting now under a new schedule when the time of winter services in Phoenix has changed. And we thank the Heavenly Father for love and unity and freedom that He has given unto those who serve there in the office and on the board, and marvel at all the work which is taking place in God's kingdom in so many ways, in so many forms. It truly is a time of work. So many greetings. Our theme for today, this Sunday, is Jesus Awakens Faith. I will read Old Testament text for this day, which is found in the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. The words are as follows in Jesus' name. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them, and be clean? So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Amen. So this portion of God's word takes us back to a time around 800 years before the birth of Christ. Tells us of a man, Naaman, who was a captain or a commander in the armed forces of Syria, serving directly under the king. It was a time when there was the divided nation, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judea, and the neighboring country, Syria. Israel was where the children of Israel lived, and the prophet Elisha served in his time. And we remember how, writes in Hebrews, how God in the sundry times, God served through the prophets and later times through his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So this was the time of the prophets, and Elisha was serving in the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel. The king of Syria and that nation was worshiping false gods. They didn't have the living God, living faith, and that's where Naaman was serving and living and coming from. And it's always a precious account, I think, when we look at these portions of God's Word, which tell us how one has been found who was in distress, in illness, has been led to God's kingdom and received the grace of living faith and able to believe. That's the kind of story we have before us. But these accounts remind us of so many things which are so important. And I feel that it's so comforting and good for us to remember how the work of God's kingdom hasn't changed. If we will think more closely about this text in a moment, but in the beginning I can't help but think how here we have a sinner, and we will see how sin works to destroy and cause distress. We also see how there's the kingdom of God. And we know there is only one kingdom. Scriptures say one faith, one hope, one baptism, one shepherd, one sheepfold, one kingdom of God. But also there are those servants like Elisha and like this little maid, the messenger, who bring forth the message of God's kingdom. And we also find how God works in mysterious ways to find his own, to lead them unto God's kingdom, to call them unto living faith. And we know as well that faith is not something we earn. Faith is not something we can give to anyone. Faith is only a grace gift, as Paul writes in Ephesians, by By grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So here is this account of how Naaman, God granted the gift of faith, awakened faith. So we are told that he was a commander, captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. Through his work, through his leadership, Syria had been given victories. So we can imagine that he was one who had the respect and honor, the glory of man. He probably had all that man would have to offer. He was a mighty man in valor, we are told. So he was brave, he was courageous. This was the kind of man Naaman was. But then we're told one other thing at the end of this verse, after it describes what Naaman was like, it tells us, but he was a leper. When we pause for a moment and think of leprosy, how it was in Jesus' time, of course this was in hundreds of years before Jesus, but the disease of leprosy still existed. It was a difficult illness, an illness that had the likelihood of ending in death. It had appeared as sores or boils on the skin. It was not pleasant to look at one who was afflicted with leprosy, and it was very, very contagious. So often, lepers lived in colonies or lived together apart from the healthy people, the common people, perhaps in caves. And if they were among the people in general, they would have to announce unclean, that they would warn those around them not to get too close because I'm a leper. And in Jesus' time there among the Jews, one afflicted with leprosy would have to show themselves to a priest. And the priest would examine them and pronounce them clean or unclean. And every 7 days they would appear before the priest. And it's interesting how as that disease rest and the skin would turn white as it continued to cover the body, that the priest would pronounce a leper unclean until the entire body was covered with leprosy. And once the entire body was afflicted or covered, and there was no more healthy skin to be seen, then the priest could pronounce the leper as clean. It's contrary to our human mind or carnal understanding, but such was the case. So besides being a difficult illness in a physical sense, we can think now when you have such a mighty man as Naaman, who had the honor and respect and glory of the people. This disease of leprosy had to be an especially difficult trial. So, leprosy, though, is also used in a spiritual sense as a picture of sin. One afflicted by sin. And sin, too, has this effect that if it's not cared for, it's not cleaned or healed, it has the prospect of death. Scriptures sworn that it is sin which is uncared for that separates man from God. So leprosy is also in this sense of faith or spiritual sense like sin. And when one comes into God's kingdom, we know that one must put aside all of their own works, their own goodness, their own self-righteousness. To enter God's children, God's kingdom, one must become as a little child. And so it's like this, be a grace beggar. It's like the leprosy which has covered all the body, all sin. There's no healthy skin left. Then one is able to be pronounced clean. And so from the standpoint of one entering God's kingdom, when they have been awakened, have an awakened conscience, distress of sin, they're simply a grace beggar and have no more goodness in themselves. Nothing to offer, no hope of health, nothing they can do of their own. Then, through the grace of God, as a sinful creature, they are able to enter God's kingdom as a little child. So Naaman, as a mighty man, was a leper. And in spite of his glory, in spite of his victories, in spite of the fact that he was a beloved soldier, commander under the king, they could not help him with this disease of leprosy. He could not help himself. So we are told that the Syrian forces had, in their work, they had brought from Israel a little maid, a young girl, a young woman, as a captive. She had been taken from her homeland of Israel and brought to be a servant in Syria. She was a servant of Naaman's wife. So she came from Israel. She knew of God's kingdom. She knew of the prophet Elisha and the work of God's kingdom that there took place. She knew that through the power of God, this disease, this illness of leprosy could be cured or healed. She also saw the distress of Naaman and I'm sure of his wife and the king. And so she spoke to her mistress, this little maid, spoke to Naaman's wife and simply said how good it would be if Naaman could go unto Samaria, land of Israel, because there he could be healed, he could be helped, recovered from the illness of leprosy. And when others heard this, that what she had said, they went and told this to the king of Syria. And the king, hearing this, wanted to help Naaman, of course. And he said, Go to Israel. He would send a letter to the king of Israel and along with that send riches, these talents of silver and pieces of gold and changes of raiment as gifts or even payment for this healing that could be done for Naaman in Israel. And so it happened that Naaman went with those who accompanied him, and they brought this letter and these gifts. They went unto the king of Israel and said, we are told, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. We also see in this account something which is so familiar to us is this battle of the mind and carnal reason with faith and that which we can only understand and accept through faith. Here, the king, his letter and his riches, king of Syria is looking at this in a carnal way, that if I send this official request and these riches to the king of Israel, he will receive it warmly and heal Naaman. But we find that something different happened. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes, and he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy?" The king of Israel was astounded and even offended that they would come to him thinking that he would have this kind of power, that he could take a man who was afflicted with leprosy, half dead, and heal him. And he further said, or thought, that there must be some other reason, some other motive behind this. And he said, "I pray you and see how ye seek a quarrel against me." So the king of Israel took it this way, that this king of Syria is trying to start a contest, a fight, a battle, and provoke the king of Israel. The king of Israel was upset about this. But when we again stop to think about this situation, when one is, first we see that in spite of the great powers that the kings had, and in spite of this nice request, they did not have the power or ability to care for this man in his condition. It wasn't that kind of an illness, that kind of a condition, that man in authority or riches could care for. But we also can think this way, dear brothers and sisters, how in the world around us there are many, many faiths. And one who is afflicted by sin and distress, seeking truth, seeking peace with God, will often visit many, many churches, hearing how they believe, listening to their preaching, hoping to find help and relief or peace from their distress. And yet, it's not found in those places. They react this way: "Am I God that I can care for this kind of matter?" We know, for example, how we hear those who even question or with disbelief the message of God's kingdom. When we preach the forgiveness of sins, they ask, "How is it that man can forgive sins?" This is their carnal way of understanding, because they don't have living faith. So here the king of Israel didn't have the ability to help, and he took it as rather offensive, this request to help, and thought that the king of Syria must be wanting to seek a quarrel, begin a conflict. But yet, Elisha, we are told, is man of God, he was a prophet, he heard that which of that which happened, how the king had reacted. And he said, why did you rip or rend, tear your clothes? Let this man, Naaman, come unto me. And then he'll know that there is a prophet in Israel. So we're told, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. God was continuing to call and guide Naaman unto the kingdom of God, where true help could be found. When Naaman came to the door of the house of Elisha, however, Elisha himself didn't come, but Elisha sent a messenger. And the message that this messenger brought to Naaman was, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. We also know that God works in this way. He works through his chosen ones, through his children. He sent Jesus into this world, his son. We remembered in our opening prayer to perform miracles, to heal, to be that perfect sacrifice. But Jesus then said unto his own, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And he gave unto them those beautiful keys of the kingdom. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. We know that the work of our Lord Jesus Christ continues yet today. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the congregation of God, God's kingdom. And so, this is how the work of God takes place. We don't know why or understand it, but it's God's work. And so even here, God had his prophet Elisha, but Elisha sent a messenger. And he sent this message, to go wash in Jordan 7 times, and then the flesh will be clean. When Naaman heard this, he was angry, and he was troubled in a couple of ways. One was that he says, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So Naaman was, even though he was so afflicted, so ill with leprosy, he still had this proudness, this self-righteousness about him. And he was thinking in his own way how this work of God should take place. He was thinking that Elisha would come forth and there would be this perhaps a ritual or a miracle, some formal proceeding that takes place where he would be cleansed. That is what Naaman was looking for. So he was troubled because Elisha didn't come himself but only sent a messenger. And it wasn't happening this way that he was thinking carnally. But also, then he heard the message to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and then he would be cleaned. And to this he reacted, are not Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He was remembering in his homeland there in Syria, these rivers which perhaps were bigger and deeper, and the waters were cleaner and fresher than the Jordan. That if that's what it takes for me to be cleansed, but to simply go wash in the river, I could just as well have gone to these rivers in my home country. I wouldn't have needed to come unto Israel. Why Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he was also troubled or angry over this part of the message of Elisha through the messenger. And Naaman turned away and went away angry or in a rage, we are told. Here, too, I think we see a picture that is very close to us, how God's kingdom is a lowly kingdom in the eyes of the world. They see the children of God as faulty and imperfect, humble. How can they be those who are going to inherit heaven? They hear of the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins and think of it as a kind of a foolish message, because it's something that only God can do. And they don't see that it is the work of God through the Holy Spirit and His children doing that work which He does among sinful people. So people like Naaman, they look and they say, well, aren't these other faiths or churches more beautiful and those people are so good? Why don't I just go there? But there's only one kingdom. There's only one faith. And this land of Israel is where God's chosen people were. And this River Jordan was where God commanded him to wash. God didn't command him or instruct him to wash in these other rivers, but only the River Jordan. So even though that message seemed foolish on the surface, in the way of carnal mind and understanding to Naaman, nevertheless, that's what God commanded. And to be healed, what was needed was to be obedient to this message. Not to understand it, but to be obedient to it. So, Naaman said, are not Abana and Pharpar of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? As he turned away in anger, his servants came to him and they told him that if you had been told by the prophet Elijah to do some great thing, I suppose some act that would be impressive to man and the people around you, you would certainly have done it. Why then, when you've been instructed to simply go wash in the River Jordan, why don't you do that so you can be clean? We are told that Naaman listened to this, and then he did as he was instructed. He went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When I think of this instruction of Elisha through the messenger, which was the word of God or instruction of God to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, I feel like I'm so small in my own understanding. What does this really mean? On one hand, we see how this man, Naaman, a man in the world, yet having an awakened conscience and afflicted by sin, was instructed to do this. When he did it, he became clean. So he was called, and after his own struggle, his mind against faith, reason, he was healed. I'm remembering a visit I had once with a person who was in the world, one who knew of God's kingdom, was friends with God's children, had an awakened conscience, and wanted to visit about living faith. And after visiting for a while, the real question became clear. This person wanted to know, what can I do to be a child of God? And the answer was simple. If you want to believe your sins forgiven, we can preach through the power of the Holy Spirit. All sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This way, believing, you too can be a child of God and walk with us in living faith. That person then says, I want to believe. And so we had those beautiful services and preached the gospel and greeted with God's peace and had those feelings of joy. I guess to me this is a picture of what it meant to wash 7 times in the river of Jordan, to be completely a grace beggar, one who no longer sees any good in themselves, has nothing to offer but to simply believe and accept that gift of faith and blessing which God has brought unto them. Thus, it happens this way today. In the eyes of man, it seems like, is it really that simple? That all I have to do is believe when God's children preach these words unto me? But it is true. The message was simple. Go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. Go to God's children. Grace beggar, believe the preaching of the forgiveness of sins. And God will give living faith. But we also know that to be cured of leprosy once does not mean that one could not be afflicted with that disease again. That is how it is when we travel in this world, even as God's children. Sin can come upon us. And we need to wash again so that we can be clean. So when I think of this endeavor of faith and the precious instruction from God's kingdom to keep faith and a good conscience, that too is like this instruction to go unto the River Jordan and wash 7 times. Keep faith and a good conscience. It seems like, is it that easy? Is that all one needs to do? Is that a foolish instruction? But yet, it's what God's Word says. And this is what Naaman was instructed. Go to the River Jordan and wash in that river 7 times. Dear brothers and sisters, that river was not the most beautiful river. It was a dirty river, a rather small river, in comparison to those rivers of Syria. But yet that's the river when Moses, the wilderness journey ended, that the children of God crossed to enter the promised land from that wilderness journey. When God had Moses' life had ended and Joshua was leading the children of Israel. They came into that river and then the waters parted and the children of God went unto the promised land of Canaan. So this is that beautiful river, which is maybe not so beautiful in the eyes of the world, but yet it is the living waters that flows in God's kingdom. And that is where we want to wash and be clean, be cleansed. And then we see in this last verse of our text how Naaman's heart changed and the fruits of faith followed. He returned to the man of God, meaning Elisha, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Naaman beautifully confessed his faith. "Now I know where the living God is." We remember he came from a land that worshipped false gods. But now he had been led unto Israel and unto Elisha through that message of the maiden girl, little maid. "Here is the living God, and now I see." And he was rejoicing and so happy. Only here in Israel is where the living God is found. And he prays for a blessing as his life continues. If we were to read further, we would see how Naaman spoke with Elisha. How would life be when he returned to serve the king of Syria? Worrying that now as a believer he would have to serve this king who loved him but yet was in unbelief and worshipped false gods. Elisha told him to go in peace and he departed, knowing that God will give strength and guide as his life continued. So this is beautiful picture, dear brothers and sisters, of how God works in his kingdom, how it happened 800 years before Christ, how it happens today. I want to encourage you to yet believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This is what it means to wash in the River Jordan. 7 times to be cleansed of all sin and righteousness. In this way, you can travel as free children of God with that hope and promise of heaven. And I ask if I can yet believe all of my sins forgiven. I want to believe with you in Jesus' name. Let us close with the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son.